Norfolk's Mental Health Trust says we all have a role to play in reducing the numbers of people taking their own lives in the county. Back in 2015, Norfolk had one of the highest suicide rates in the country. Extra funding was given to try and reduce numbers, and that has happened. But the Norfolk and Suffolk NHS Foundation Trust says they're trying to improve their services, and they need all the help to start discussions about mental health and to ask those who are ill if they're experiencing suicidal thoughts. More from them later in the programme, but first, two women who run a support group for those bereaved by suicide have chosen to share their experiences with this programme. First, you'll hear from Joy, who lives in Norwich, whose son Ian died by suicide, and Catherine, whose sister Alison ended her life.
We lost our son 12 years ago to suicide. His name was Ian, and he was 24, and he'd been diagnosed shortly before with bipolar disorder. He'd actually been ill since he was 14, but it took 8 years to diagnose him with bipolar disorder, and unfortunately, he didn't get the correct help he needed, and we believe that's why he took his own life.
My sister died by suicide in August 2016, and I was just informed of this by a call when I was at work from a paramedic, and it was just the biggest shock, you know, I've ever had. And the feelings I had from that was just, they were just indescribable.
When it first happened, I didn't even think to talk to anybody. I was so distraught, it didn't occur to me to think who could help. And I was referred to a support group. And that's when I began to feel understood. Talking to people who had been through it really helped. That's the thing that helped me most. Even if you feel that there's nothing that's going to really help, that's the best thing. Talking about it with people who've been through it was the best thing for me.
Well, when it happened to me, I just remember feeling absolutely desperate to be able to speak to other people that could understand some of what I was feeling. And so I just was absolutely desperate to be able to speak to other people that had been severely affected like I was by suicide. And this was very important to me. I felt very strongly after losing my sister that I wanted to sort of try and get involved in supporting others so they didn't feel as alone as I did.
I believe we do need to talk about it more. I don't believe that by talking about suicide to somebody is going to make them more likely to do it. But I think as well that after losing somebody, I didn't find it difficult to talk to somebody. I was quite open because I don't think there should be a stigma. As far as I'm concerned, mental health and physical health should get equal treatment. And people shouldn't have to be embarrassed about mental health. But I think men do find it harder to talk about these things. I think they get embarrassed by it. And I can remember Ian with work. He could get work very easily. But when he had an appointment, he didn't want to tell his employers that he had a mental health appointment. And that was really hard. He liked to hide it. And I think men are particularly more prone to not wanting to talk about it.
Even with sort of other family members and close friends, when I've told them what happened to my sister, I've sort of had people physically recoiling from me because it's such shocking news. And then there's many people that just sort of don't really contact me now or are very uncomfortable to do so because of it. And unfortunately, in sort of not talking about suicide as half as much as we should do, it's just sort of reinforcing the stigma of it. When it's reported in the press or when it's on any sort of media, then the language used has to be very sensitive. But I think that generally just talking about suicide and how it greatly affects people, there should be a lot more of that actually.
More on this later in the programme. Joy and Catherine run a support group called Empathy, which runs phone and face-to-face support for those bereaved by suicide. You can find out more about them by going online to empathynorfolk.co.uk. And if you want more information about the issues raised in that report, you can contact the BBC Action Line by searching for BBC Action Line online or calling 0800 83 85 87. Let me give you that number again. That's 0800 83 85 87. Or you can speak to somebody confidentially at any time, day or night, by calling the Samaritans on 116 123. That's 116 123. And I'd like to speak to you this morning about trying to encourage an open dialogue, a healthy dialogue about mental health, and encouraging people to come forward and to talk, especially men in their 30s, 40s and 50s, and promoting a culture in which it's okay to say, I'm not okay. In promoting a culture in which it's okay for someone to say, I need help. And even though great strides have been made over the past two decades to try and encourage openness and tolerance and understanding and acceptance of conditions such as depression, we've still got quite a way to go. And empowering the individual to say it's all right to not be all right and to talk. So I'd love to hear from you this morning with your personal experiences, anchoring this in your experiences of your journeys, supporting loved ones who may well have experienced thoughts that we are discussing this morning about taking your own life, or indeed if you have been through that very difficult journey, as we've been hearing this morning in that very powerful piece of audio that I've just played you, listening very carefully there to Joy and to Catherine and what they said. If that resonates with you, I'd love to hear from you on the programme this morning, just with your thoughts. I'm not going to direct you one way or another, but just with your thoughts. 0800 389 7321 is my number if you're picking up the phone this morning and you're calling the programme.